Heading down the stretch to the World Series, the seventh game playoff has so much rich history behind it. Tony La Russa talks about it. It is maybe not a once-in-a-lifetime, but it is close to that, and the way people perform in those games is remembered for generations. We're going to talk today with what we call our baseball brain trust, our killer bees, Bob Melvin, Jim Beattie, and Bill Adams. Bill Adams from West Point Center for Enhanced Performance, the other two, manager for the Diamondbacks, general manager for several major league teams, and Jim Beattie. We're going to talk about what happened in the matchup between Maine and Carpenter last night. We're going to talk also about who's got the best edge for tonight's game and the interesting decisions that a Willie Randolph has in looking at his bullpen with a Billy Wagner that may not have the same confidence in his fastball that he has had. And then we're going to be joined in the second half hour to focus more on football, talk about the Miami-Florida international situation with Donna Shalala, talk about kickers, the psychology of last-second field goals, and look at some of our favorite teams and who's for real and who isn't with Michael Wilbon, probably, in my humble estimation, the best guy, along with Tony Kornheiser, the best at looking at the full range of sports. Here is Jim Palmer talking about what might be the key matchup, the key considerations going into the World Series this weekend.
Well, I think the American League, they won the last eight straight World Series teams. Now, that doesn't mean that you're that much better, but the All-Star game, as we all know, it gives you a distinct advantage if you get to play at home. Most of the American League teams are built about around their DH, so obviously the American League, if it does go seven games in a World Series, would get to play and use their DH at home four times. So that's a huge advantage for them. You know, once again, you have Kenny Rogers. I mean, here's a guy. I get a little misled by radar guns. I mean, I was watching a game he pitched against the Yankees. They had him at 93 miles per hour. Well, you know, the only way he could throw 93 miles per hour is if he drove down the highway in a car and going 92 miles per hour and tossed it out the window.
Well, that's Jim Palmer talking about Kenny Rogers, who may be, in the end, one of the great deciders of this upcoming World Series. We'll be right back with Bob Melvin and more on Head Games Radio. Stay with us.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA, 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Sterling Promotions, in association with Queensbury Media and Integrated Sports, presents the Mike Tyson World Tour. One of the most ferocious and entertaining boxers to ever enter the ring returns as boxing legend and former world champion Mike Tyson takes on heavyweight contender Corey Sanders in a four-round bout, plus an exciting night of undercard fights. The Mike Tyson World Tour, Friday, October 20th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, live on pay-per-view. Call your pay-per-view provider for details.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Well, it's what you hope for. It's a seventh game heading into the World Series, and we're joined by a guy that has been around a lot of these players, whether it's El Duque, whether it's Scott Spezio, whether it's Sean Green. Bob Melvin, you're in New York, aren't you?
I currently am, correct.
Are you getting a chance to take in the series in a different way with the sort of background of New York and what it means to that city?
Boy, I'll tell you, it's incredible. You know, they get, obviously, a lot of media attention here to begin with, but, you know, especially with the Yankees not in it right now, you know, this whole town is about the Mets right now. It's pretty exciting just being here and being a part of it.
I think it's got to be a nice relief, too, having played for the Jets, the same sort of thing, where the Giants in football always seem to get more attention, and now that the Yankees are out of it, finally the Mets are getting some respect, and Willie Randolph perhaps a little bit as well. Let's talk about the matchup last night. I mean, that's always, I would imagine, as the manager, the biggest decision you're going to make is who you're starting and how long you keep them in there as well. Tell me, what was the magic that allowed Maine to overcome the Cy Young Award winner in Carpenter last night?
Well, for me, it was a surprise because, you know, Carpenter pitched very well, well enough to keep his team in a game and give him a chance to win. But, boy, Maine was really good last night. You know, you could see through a lot of fastballs, yet his fastball plays a little better than the velocity that shows up on the gun. You could see a lot of late swings, a lot of balls up in the zone. He's the type of guy that, you know, you want to get him down in the zone, where a guy like Glavine, you want to make him try to get the ball up. And, you know, that 93 was playing 95 or 96. He threw just enough breaking balls to keep him off the fastball a little bit and gave him what they needed, was turn it over to the bullpen in the sixth inning.
And he also he found a way out of those jams in the first and the third. In fact, maybe getting Jim Edmonds out was a bigger deal than anything.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, he made big pitches when he had to. You know, he, like I said, you know, he wasn't afraid to throw his fastball and go right after these guys, and they knew it going in. They just, you know, you start swinging at some fastball, especially up in the zone, and you're going to go a little bit higher than high, and that's how he got ahead and got a lot of his outs. So, you know, when he needed to make a big pitch in that game, he certainly did, albeit, you know, he walked a few guys and kind of worked for him in that fashion that he was a little bit effectively wild last night.
Effectively wild. I want to go into that in a second. To have a ball that moves, to have a ball that sort of rises as well. But before we do that, one of the things Maine talked about after the game was he tried to keep the ball in the infield. So as the manager, when you're coaching your pitchers and anybody listening, how do you coach your guys to keep the ball in the infield? I'm imagining it has to be keeping the ball down, but it's got to be more sophisticated than that.
Well, it is. You know, they do have a good infield, especially up the middle with Reyes, who gets everything right over on that left side. Both those guys are tremendous. But, you know, you wouldn't actually say that this guy's a ground ball pitcher, a guy that keeps the ball in the infield a lot. He gets a lot of swings and misses. He gets a lot of foul balls up in the zone. And then when you have to make a pitch, you try to go down a little bit and try to keep the ball in the infield. That's not how he's going to pitch his career. But you certainly want him to have that mindset when he goes out there.
Well, we're joined by Bill Adams for a few minutes just to look into the psychology of the seventh game, but also of catalysts. I mean, I'm thinking about how home runs in the fifth game seem to help Pujols and the Cardinals get that sense of confidence and optimism and aggressiveness back into their game. And, of course, Jose Reyes last night, early in the game, seemed to give them, you know, that confidence that it was their night. How important is that? Let's go into that first with Bill Adams. How are you, Bill? Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hey, Jose Reyes was a leader for his team. He's only 23 years old, but the enthusiasm, the attitude he carries, you know, really ignited the passion of his whole team. Billy Wagner said of him, he sets up the whole team. Cliff Floyd said about him, the guy is amazing. And, you know, what he does is he focuses on the thing that he does well and refuses to give way to negativism. And what he does is he serves as a leader for the rest of the team and the attitude they need to take to be winners on the field.
Well, let's talk about confidence. Bob Melvin, it is the most important word of this show. It is, if you as the manager make your team feel confident when they go on the field. Jeff Immelt, of all people, the head of General Electric, I asked him once, as the leader of the largest company in the world, what do you think your role is? He says, my role is to make the people around me feel confident and good about the jobs they have to do. So with a Jose Reyes, what is the role of someone like that to identify that as the manager? What does a Jose Reyes do, and how do you bottle that? How do you make sure that consistently your team is feeling as confident as it can be so that a home run is not the only way that they can be ignited and confident and aggressive in the big game?
Well, you know, as far as Reyes goes, Reyes is their igniter. I mean, he's, you know, he gets them going. He is the engine. The other guys that they pay to knock in the runs, but, you know, when you start out of a game, especially in a playoff atmosphere, that first run and the game that puts you ahead psychologically is huge. And when you got a guy like Reyes who does it right away, you know, who leads off the game with a home run, gets the crowd involved right away, now all of a sudden the momentum's in their, you know, in their corner, in their ballpark, and, you know, you just seem to play with a lot more confidence that way. And that's what a guy like Reyes brings to it. He's got, you know, a lot of enthusiasm. He's always having fun. You know, whether it's a home run or he gets on base and now the attention turns to him at first base as opposed to the hitter at the plate, there's a lot of ways he can hurt you early in the game, and the psychological effect and the confidence effect, you know, happened on the first batter of the game when he went deep to give him a 1-0 lead.
Well, one of the things that Maine talked about is I tried not to think about it. Try not to think about the importance of the game. Bill, before we let you go, just that to me is the hardest thing, the easiest thing to say, the hardest thing to do. How do you not think about the outcome? How do you just relax and get your job done and do what you always do?
You know what I'd tell a guy like Maine is just, it's easy to say forget about the outcome, but focus on what you love about baseball. I mean, just how special is this? I mean, this is October. You're playing in, you know, the League Series Championship. What could be better than that? Where else would you rather be in your life at this particular moment? I mean, if you're a professional baseball player, this is what it's all about. So if you can just sort of take in the sights, the sounds before you pitch that first pitch, look around, look at the people in the stands, just, you know, see the sights, hear the sounds, listen, you know, smell the smells of the stadium, and just really soak it all in and realize that this is something truly special that very few people get to experience, and I'm just going to enjoy this as much as I can. And maybe by doing that, he can take some of the pressure off of himself and go out and pitch his best game.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and we always look forward to having you on the show, my friend, formerly of the West Point Center for Enhanced Performance. And where are you now, Bill?
I am now with the Center for Advanced Performance, a business consulting firm located in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, well, we'll go into more detail about these performance things every week on this show, but thanks for joining us, Bill.
Hey, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. Well, coming up will be Jim Beattie, but let's go more into this. As the manager, the theory's always great. You read the books, Bob. I'm sure you've done that as well. What's been the best advice you've given or received in terms of seventh game, in terms of the big pressure games, in terms of getting your guys to enjoy it, as Bill Adams just talked about?
Well, you know, I was bench coach in Arizona in 2001 when we had a seventh game against the Yankees and ended up winning. So, you don't have to get anybody up for those games. You know, you're going to go out there for the seventh game and the adrenaline's going to be there and so forth. It's the focus and getting into the flow of the game that's important. You know, a lot of times early in the game you can take yourself out of it because of all the other, you know, things going on and so forth. It's getting into your normal routine of the game that's very important. And a lot of times the teams that do that earlier in the game are the teams that are going to be more consistent as the game goes along. So, you know, there's nothing like a seventh game. I remember, I played in the seventh game of the National League Championship Series against St. Louis, and Joe Morgan, who was doing the game, who I knew a little bit, was, you know, while we were stretching, was walking around telling us, hey, guys, there's nothing like a seventh game. You know, you can't explain it, but there is nothing like Game 7. These guys are going to feel it tonight, and, you know, the emotion and everything goes along, the urgency and so forth. It's a one-of-a-kind feeling, and, you know, both teams, I'm sure, are very excited about going through it tonight.
Well, tonight, this afternoon, today's show is about seventh games and last-second kicks. And in the second half, we'll talk with Michael Wilbon. When we come back, though, we'll be joined by Jim Beattie, former general manager for the Expos for the Orioles, with Bob Melvin. We're going to talk about the relief pitchers and the dilemma that maybe Willie Randolph has in front of him, with Billy Wagner's confidence maybe not what it normally would be. We'll be right back.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now, 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Don't let the high cost of healthcare keep you from getting critical medical care when you desperately need it. Because now there's an affordable solution. Prudent Choice is a healthcare discount program that gives you and your family discounts of 10 to 60% off the cost of doctors, dentists, hospitals, prescription drugs, and more. With a provider network of over 850,000 doctors, hospitals, dentists, and pharmacies, Prudent Choice members can easily take advantage of cost savings nationwide. Even chiropractic, hearing, and vision care are included. And here's the best part. $39.99 per month covers all your health care needs. That's little more than a dollar a day for all the health care services you'll need. Don't let the high cost of medical care stand in the way of you and your family's good health. Call Prudent Choice now at 1-800-231-0429. That's 1-800-231-0429. Call now. Get $300 in healthcare services free. Call in the next 9 minutes, and with annual membership, get 2 months free. Call Prudent Choice at 1-800-231-0429. 1-800-231-0429.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way, and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Diamondbacks manager Bob Melvin. Bob, you played with some of these guys. What's going through the head of an El Duque looking at maybe the fact that he might have a chance to play in the World Series? What's going through the head of a Sean Green who so effectively hit to the opposite field last night? What's going through the head of some of these players like Scott Spezia who have a chance and are staring at a once-in-a-lifetime situation?
Well, you know, for the guys that have been there before, the El Duques, you know, it's just about going out there and wanting to be part of it and competing. You know, for him, this is the big stage that he plays for, and that's when he's at his best or in games like this. You guys been through as much pressure as anybody, both on and off the field, and those kind of things really don't affect him. So he's really looking forward to hopefully their team getting to the World Series so he has a chance to contribute. A guy like Sean Green, you know, he's been through the wars as well, you know, and he's able to step back and calm himself and get up for big situations like you saw last night. You know, Scott Spezio's made a career of making his name in playoff games where he's just excelled, and that confidence just kind of carries over in those games, and he seems to just, you know, be at his best in those big type of situations. So, you know, this is, as a baseball player, from the time you grow up as a little kid, this is what you play for. This is what you dream about, playing in games like this. And, you know, like I said, there's nothing like it. And these guys, I know, are all excited about getting out there tonight.
Well, we're joined by the third of our killer bees, if you will, Jim Beattie. How are you?
Nick, great today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm interested in you guys giving me an analysis of the Mets relief pitching, who seem to have had the advantage, and what you would be talking with Willie Randolph about as the general manager, about Heilman and Mota and the confidence he has in those two versus Billy Wagner. I mean, you want to go and continue to show confidence to the guy who's been your go-to guy, but it's as if, I mean, he threw three curveballs to Eckstein, as an example, a guy who's not, shouldn't be considered that big of a threat. What's happening with Billy Wagner, and what are you going to do in the eighth and ninth inning if it comes down to a one-run game?
Well, I think
let's start with Jim Beattie.
Sorry about that. I think you take a look at tonight's ball game. I really think, for the Mets' purposes, it may be a bullpen game, and if it gets out of hand, certainly either way. But I think they're going to try to get three or four innings out of Oliver and Perez, and then they may go to those strong arms in their bullpen, feeling a little bit better. And I got to believe that Willie, if he gets a one or two run lead in the ninth inning, they're going to go to Billy Wagner to try to protect that. That's what you've been doing. He may be suffering a little bit from some confidence, but he hasn't pitched much either. And I think coming off last night when he did pitch, now he's going back out there again day to day, you know, the next day, I think that will help him be more aggressive in the strike zone. So it will be an interesting matchup. I mean, Supan, the last time he went out against St. Louis, shut him down. So whether he can do that again, I would say last night was a big boost for the Mets. Obviously, it was an elimination game. But just psychologically, that was the game that the Cardinals thought they had. They had Main on the mound for the Mets. They had Carpenter, the Cy Young pitcher for the Cardinals, and that's the one they really should have won. But their bats have just been cold. And so, obviously, Supan has to go out tonight and do the same thing, shut them down, and hope they can get someone else besides Albert Pujols to drive some runs in.
Bob Melvin, you know, most people are going to look at a 2.19 earned run average from Supan in the playoffs versus 7.94 for Perez, a 3-13 record. They're going to say, it's got to be Supan. He had a good hit a home run last time. It's got to be him. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, I tell you, you know, like Jim was saying, last night was the game the Cardinals felt like they needed to get and had the advantage to get. You know, when you have Carpenter on the mound against a rookie like that, after, you know, beating Glavine the night before, you know, that's the game they have to win. Tonight, it's a different story. You know, it should be more of an offensive game, you would think. You know, like Jim was saying also, Oliver's going to go out there, and when he gets in trouble, they're going to go to that bullpen, and Supan's going to have to go out there with the pressure, knowing that he's going to have to shut down a very, very potent offensive lineup for the second time, which is very difficult to do. So I think the momentum's with the Mets right now, playing here at home. I think it's going to be a little bit, hopefully, you know, to an extent, be a little more of an offensive game, and I think that plays to the advantage of the Mets.
Well, let's shift to the Cardinals for a second. Interesting situation with Mr. Rowland on the Cardinals, and really what you don't want to have is perhaps, maybe it's good, maybe it's healthy to have a little bit of that distraction. Some teams in the past, Billy Martin seemed to thrive on having a crazy cantankerous dugout. But, Jim Beattie, what's going on with Rowland?
Well, I mean, the last time that last time John Main pitched, Rowland was not in the lineup, and that kind of has carried on. I mean, there was a comment by La Russa the other day, the way La Russa handled it. He did what he thought was best for the team, and when you get into the playoffs, I think it's things that are being said between a player, a manager, and other players that are divisive to the team. Really, you get into the playoffs, you got to check your ego at the door, as I said before. This is why you get there. Whatever it takes to win the ball games, you should be out there trying to do to help your club. Now, Rowland was in there last night, I think, more for his defense with Carpenter pitching than he was for his offense. And it showed a little bit. He got a big hit in the ninth inning that helped them score a couple runs. But really, that was an off-speed pitch that from Wagner, one of those curves or sliders that you were talking about that he had up in the strike zone. And they were attacking Rowland early on with fastballs, and I think his shoulders bothered him to the point where he can't get on top of a fastball and drive it at all. He popped up a couple last night, and to go in and throw him off-speed pitches, if he is in the ballgame tonight, I expect that the Mets pitchers just go hard at him, hard in, hard away, and make him try to hit that fastball, maybe even out of the strike zone. But there's a little bit of an issue between, I think, La Russa and Rowland, but hopefully they can, as I said, check those egos for tonight, the seventh game. It's almost the seventh game of the World Series for these guys because it's win or go home, and it's a great matchup in a lot of respects because of the strengths of the Mets and the weaknesses of the Mets against the strengths and the weaknesses of the Cardinals.
Bob Melvin, just before we let you go, I just hearken back to last year and how a Houston team's go-to reliever didn't come through. That little bit of doubt and that one- or two-game stretch can kill your team. Would you go to Billy Wagner?
He has to. I mean, that's the way his game is going to set up, especially the way that the bullpen, he may have to use several guys in the bullpen tonight. You know, he can't worry about that. He's got to rely on his closer to go out there, and if he gets to the ninth inning, to go out there and close the game down. You know, that's what they pay him to do. That's what he's done all year, albeit, you know, a lot of closers have struggled to an extent this year, but you're going to see him in the ninth inning if they have a lead tonight.
Okay, well, I'm just to have an opinion, I think it's going down to the ninth inning, and I think Adam Wainwright is the guy that comes through just because in this moment, on this day, he has more confidence, 4-3 for the Cardinals. What about you two? Let's start with Jim Beattie.
Well, I don't know if it's going to get down to the ninth inning, but if it did get down to the ninth inning, regardless of how it plays out, I'd rather have Billy Wagner than Adam Wainwright. I mean, this Wainwright has pitched well, but I think Wagner's experience, and I said I think going back-to-back games is going to help him. I think he's a guy that doesn't really get too concerned with his confidence, and Wainwright in that situation I think would be a little, although he's been very aggressive and has done very well, if I were a manager, if I were a coach, I'd feel much better with Wagner out there.
What's your pick then, my friend Bob Melvin, for tonight?
Well, I think the Mets win tonight. I don't think, I've never been one to predict scores or anything, but I think the Mets are going to score some runs tonight. I think the Cardinals have a chance to score too. I mean, just kind of feels like it's more of a 7-4 type of game to me than a lower scoring one, even though, you know, I thought last night the Mets would score, you know, a few more off Carpenter, and it would be a little bit more of a higher scoring game yesterday. But I think the Bats are going to do it today, and I think the Mets have the better lineup.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you in the next few days as the World Series turns. Thanks again.
All right, Nick.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
That's Bob Melvin and Jim Beattie, two of our three killer bees. And we're moving on to Michael Wilbon, who may not be a killer W, but I think he's the best guy in sports covering the full range, the wide world of sport with Wacky Michael Wilbon. How are you, buddy?
Nick, I'm good. I was just enjoying hearing some of the end of that baseball talk, so I know what to think going into Game 7.
Well, you know, you're anything but wacky. Let's talk about something that is, though, which is the shifting to football. And Donna Shalala, who I guess a lot of people are going to say, you know, criticisms of the Clinton administration and liberals, they just don't know how to come down hard on people and set boundaries. And here she is, finally getting a chance to show how tough she is. And the situation with Miami and Florida International, a one-game suspension for getting kicked in the head for the kind of violence that is becoming all too prevalent. What do you think about that?
I'm a liberal. She's a joke. That's my first reaction. Donna Shalala embarrassed herself to me, and the university doesn't get it when it acts through her stewardship. And I found it embarrassing, and if I found her out of touch, Nick. And this is a brilliant, accomplished woman who seems to be out of touch with the state of college football, the state of the University of Miami, and its role in college football. Miami very much is of two images. There's the football team and its accomplishments in winning four national championships in a, you know, 20-year span. And then there's what goes on the field and off the field in terms of behavior, which is just objectionable on so many levels. And she has got to see the entire picture, not just part of it. And her role is, yes, to protect her students, but also to look at the students and figure out who in this situation needs to be punished and told the university does not stand for this kind of behavior. This does not represent what we do.
Does Coker have that much to do with it? In other words, if he had clamped down earlier, we just got about 30 seconds in this segment, does he have that much to do with this?
Probably not. He ought to, but the truth is, under Jimmy Johnson, a coach I adore, this sort of thing happened. Every coach at Miami has had some of it, a little bit of it. But this latest thing, Nick, the coach has to take ultimate responsibility, even if he couldn't stop it, and they're going to have to bring somebody in there who can stop it, and maybe that starts with the recruitment process.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk also about seventh games and last-second field goals, something that I know a little bit about and have a little bit of interest in with Josh Brown, who was on the show earlier this week, and John Carney kicking game-winning field goals, and maybe the most physically talented kicker in the game, Neil Rackers, not coming through. We're going to talk about that and more on the NFL with Michael Wilbon, the best, only the best, on Head Games. We'll be right back.
My life absolutely rules. See, this guy I like, his favorite band is coming to town on his birthday. I'm thinking, tickets, perfect gift. What? Sold out? I'm about to lose my cool when someone on the radio goes,
even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? TicketsNow.com.
Ah, sweet. I go to TicketsNow.com, and within minutes, the tickets are mine. Mr. Birthday Boy says, oh, baby, you got the sweet seats. I say, Tickets Now. He goes, yeah. So I say, Tickets Now is awesome. And he says, and you are amazing. He puts his arm around me and says, now, come sit a little closer. Score! Yes!
Tickets Now. How close would you like to sit?
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Tuesday Night Fights Knockouts is now on pay-per-view. It's the only monthly series featuring the greatest knockouts from your favorite fighters. Check out the new episode playing this month. For more information, log on to KOPPV.com. Find out which fighters are featured in this month's episode.
Larry Holmes!
To order, just call your local cable or satellite provider and log on to the official website for the series, KOPPV.com. Finally, Tuesday nights like we remember.
Got an iPod? Into podcasting? Now you can get podcasts of all your favorite Sports Byline shows delivered right to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want, on your PC or on your iPod. Never miss your favorite show. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to your favorite shows. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Tuesday Night Fights Knockouts is now on pay-per-view. It's the only monthly series featuring the greatest knockouts from your favorite fighters. Check out the new episode playing this month. For more information, log on to KOPPV.com. Find out which fighters are featured in this month's episode.
Haseem Rahman.
To order, just call your local cable or satellite provider and log on to the official website for the series, KOPPV.com. Finally, Tuesday nights like we remember.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Radio on Sirius Satellite with a guy that I think should be in the Monday night booth. Hey, Tell me, honestly, Michael, is Tony getting a big head? Is he talking more than he ever has?
No, if anything else, this has humbled him, Nick. He comes back talking now about all the stuff he didn't know and all the things he wished he'd known and all, you know, and his renewed, well, I should say newly discovered respect for how hard players in the NFL have to study. The intellect of players, particularly linemen, he's just, you know, and every time I go into a locker room now, I run into players who tell me about their conversations with Tony and how great the conversations were, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So it's like he's, you know, gone to, you know, grad school. So no, big head is not the problem. I mean, it's just added to more, it's added a new, neuroses, if anything else.
There you go. Well, he's getting so nervous and excited during the games. He starts making, you know, Matt Leinart completes his first five passes. He starts saying this is, you know, possibly the greatest game in history and, you know, starts making predictions in like the first 4 minutes of the game. I think he needs to take a chill pill a little bit. But, seriously, I still think that the performance of this crew is pretty good. But I'm interested in how it affects your relationship. Are they giving you some more opportunities as well?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't, first of all, on the broadcast, I don't hear it because I'm at the Monday night games. I've been to all the Monday night games except for the Philly game. And so I don't hear the broadcast. So, it's like I heard that one broadcast, and I certainly did not hear. I told Tony yesterday I thought the easiest game to broadcast must have been the Cardinals-Bears because of just the dramatic nature of it and all the elements that went into it. And he agreed with that. But, you know, the network wanted me to be involved with football and asked me several times, and I didn't want to be. I think that that's Tony's thing, and that Tony has always wanted to do Monday Night Football. People just have to remember that when Dennis Miller auditioned and sort of won that audition and became the analyst for 2 years, Tony was the finalist beaten out by Dennis Miller. So this has been going on. This flirtation has been going on for some years now. I have never had any desire to broadcast any game of any kind. It's a skill I don't have. It's a interest I don't particularly have. I love well called games. I'm a sports junkie, Nick. I love hearing well called games, and I love meeting my favorite announcers. And there are people that I think do it so well, and I'm not one of those people. I'm a sports.
I'm going to put this delicately. Do you think they talk too much, though?
I don't know. I don't. Probably not.
Come on.
Not particularly. I'm not as critical of any broadcasters. I never tune in to see the broadcasters or hear them. I tune into the game regardless. And then my experience can be enhanced by the broadcasters. I mean, I love hearing Troy Aikman analyze a game. I love Buck and Aikman.
Me too.
And there are a lot of people I can say that about, but that's just, they're on the top of my list right now. I love Madden and Michael. I mean, people say, well, John Madden has lost something. To me, no, he's, you know, when I hear their voices come from a big game, to me it's a big game. That's part of what I tune in hoping to have enhanced my experience. But I don't tune in or out of any game because of the broadcasters. But what I know is there are things I like doing. I'm going to wind up doing the ABC. I've agreed to host, to be on, to contribute with Dan Patrick hosting and Mark Jackson and I being the analyst for the ABC pregame basketball shows in the NBA all winter and spring. And that's more up my alley. That's more of what I like to do, the studio work. And so I'm really, I did some of it last year, really excited about it. But me in a live booth with a live microphone trying to analyze live without having time to think about it, I don't think the nation wants or needs or is ready for that, Nick, because I know I'm not.
We're talking with Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption on ESPN and also, of course, the Washington Post. Let's finish up this discussion very quickly. On Miami, Florida International, what would you do? I mean, if one game suspension is not enough, do you go to the four or five games like what happened in the NFL?
Yes. I would have suspended people with swinging helmets and kicking. I would have suspended them for 3 games minimum. And there are a couple of kids I would have suspended for the season. And I would have said, you know what, you're lucky we're not taking your scholarship away. You've got between now and the end of this season to practice every day, you know, stay in good academic standing, and we'll if you do that, we'll renew your scholarship because scholarships are renewable year by year. I mean, if Donna Shalala, starting with her, and administrators at Miami, are not going to teach these kids the hard lessons, then who will? It's so lazy the approach that she took. And I know there was objection from other powers that be in Miami, but they seem to have backed down now. But yeah, I would not have, none of the real culprits would have gotten a one game suspension from me if I was running that situation.
We talked with Peter Roby from the Center for the Study of Sports Society about when he was the Harvard basketball coach, and if he ever had to, you know, lay down the line, lay it down. And he had two twins that were just out of hand, and he cut them from the team. And, of course, initially it wasn't exactly the best thing in their minds, but they now today say it's the best thing that happened to them because it gave them a sense of boundaries. And now one of them actually is a contributor to the Today Show in health, and he's a doctor. So, of
That's
course,
a great story.
I mean, going to Harvard anyway.
Ultimate story. But that, Nick, is such a great story. And so the notion that, you know, there's some socioeconomic boundary that prevents people from laying down rules and setting authoritative boundaries is just—it's so lazy intellectually. It makes me angry, and I've been hearing a lot of that lately. University of Miami blew it, in my estimation, as you can tell from my tone and comments. And I don't know what serves as a real disincentive for those kids not to go out and do it again.
Can't you say it's also lazy morally? I mean, you can have things in theory. This is real. These guys are going to continue to make the same mistakes, like Maurice Claret, if they don't have a boundary. They may anyway, but without this, they have no chance.
None whatsoever. And it's just too. It was too easy a call if you really, you know, wanted to do something other than suck up to the football program. It was too easy a call to make, and they didn't make it.
Yeah, I think she was trying to win a popularity contest, trying to please everybody.
Exactly. Within her community, she was trying to win a popularity contest instead of do the right thing.
If she'd been there for 15 years, she was a little bit more settled, a little bit more confident, based on her relationships, who to trust. In Miami, maybe it was just such a big symbol. It's like at Notre Dame, you know. It becomes such a big thing, and even presidents of universities get intimidated, and that's sad. Well, let's switch to another kind of intimidation, which is I know that there are two kinds of success that a kicker and that other great players in sport have to deal with. The first one is just making it. You know, I was cut by 8 teams 11 times, and just making it was great. But the second, and maybe it's a bigger mantle to cross, to climb over, if you will, is the confidence when you've had one or two great seasons. You know, when a Michael Jordan had one or two great seasons, and suddenly every year after those championships, people expected him to make every big shot. And I look at Neil Rackers on Monday night, a guy that was 40 for 42 last year, and I can't help but have compassion, knowing that probably because he's had 4 misses from outside 50 going into that game, including the 51-yarder that would have won the week before against the Chiefs, that he's trying to relax. He's trying to stay within himself. And I'm seeing him kicking into the net on the sidelines, Michael, with his helmet off. And I'm thinking, that just doesn't feel right. And maybe that's his routine, but it just didn't feel right. And now he's lining up this field goal to win the game. Matt Leinart's done a superlative job. He's got a 40-yarder. He hasn't missed inside 40 yards in a very, very long time. And he lined it up more quickly. If you watch his body language, he comes across the ball. Josh Brown talked about it, who kicked the game winner on Sunday from 54 yards, of course, albeit indoors on a turf field. But still, you know, it's interesting to look at that. How do you take kickers? Who are the ones that you think, besides Vinatieri, who are the guys that you think, you know, have it all?
Oh, goodness. Well, obviously, I guess you start with Vinatieri. I mean, you have to. I mean, I sit in the Hall of Fame room, and people talk about the role of kickers and punters, and let's face it, I mean, you know, kickers and punters are treated sadly and I think unfairly as if they're some sort of tangential parts of a National Football League game when they're not, as we've seen in the games you're talking about last weekend. But, I mean, you'd have to start with Vinatieri, and you would also include Rackers in that conversation based on what he did last year. I mean, the guy was the best kicker in the league coming in. And I know, Nick, and I think the testament to your career is that And the handful of guys who do it over a double-digit number of years is to be able to do it consistently. A lot of kickers we see come and go fairly quickly. I think of a guy who I know you're familiar with who had about 6 or 7 great years, and then something happened. He might have had some injuries, and all of a sudden he was gone. It's Chip Lowmiller. And Chip Lowmiller was so great for a short period of time. And we see that often where guys are great for a shorter period. And I'm not saying the Rackers time is over, obviously. This is a young guy who has plenty of time left. But I think the mental part of it and dealing with the misses and dealing with the criticism and dealing with something that nobody, no other position player deals with, in my opinion, they have to deal with a certain suspicion in their own locker rooms in many cases, because the notion that media members extend that kickers aren't really wink-wink part of football. That, most of the time, comes from position players in the locker room. We're approached, we're in conversations, a kicker misses, linebacker walks past one of us, me as a reporter with a notebook, and says, you see what happens, we turn the game over to a kicker. And this, as a reporter, as a media member, this gets in your head, but we get it from players. And so
you also get it from the head coach. I mean, some head coaches make it real clear, like a Marv Levy. They make it real clear that this guy is going to get it done, and we're behind, and we're going to give him the chance, just like every other position, to get it done. Now, and let's shift also to the Cardinals and overcoming the culture of losing, whether it's the kicker screwing up or whether it's the previous quarterback fumbling the ball 10 times in 4 games. The Cardinals have a monumental task ahead of them.
And they need to get it done now, Nick. They got Oakland and Green Bay, 2 beatable teams, get themselves back to 3-5 if they can. They should have at least pulled from that Bears game. Okay, we're a pretty darn good football team. You know, for 50 minutes, we were leading this game. We had control of this game before the final 8.5, really. They ought to take some of that into a game against a winless team. The culture of losing is an incredible thing to get outside of. And the Cardinals, I thought, could do that this year, and they seem to just have slipped back into it. And I don't know what it is, who it is. The head coach can't do it alone. It can't be head coach and players. It's got to be front office executives. Part of the culture of losing is don't leave $10 million on the table when you need a couple of extra players.
Thank you.
Spend the money. It starts at the top. It starts there.
We've got to go to a break. It starts in 5 seconds. We'll be right back with Michael Wilbon from PTI with final thoughts in just a second.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Welcome back with Michael Wilbon on Head Games on Sirius Satellite. And we're going to shift to maybe what's the most important thing besides a great defense, which is that consistent offensive line. And, Michael, I wanted to go through with you the teams that seem to be doing the best. New Orleans, surprising so many people. Chicago, of course, coming back. New England, San Diego, Denver as well. And we're going to start with Howard Mudd, the offensive line coach for many, many years in the NFL, now with Indianapolis, with a consistent line. He talks about the importance of what it does for your team.
Wow, not at all. The last time I checked, unless there aren't too many teams that really are successful and have been successful that don't protect the quarterback, and that's really what this is all about for me. And that's important to be able to run the ball. And you know, with that being said, in our situation, we run the ball when they want to stop the pass, and then we pass the ball when they want to stop the run. Generally speaking, a lot of teams do that, and so therefore, if you're going to, you need to have and think in terms of your big plays, and the plays that really make a big difference are the ones that come through the air.
So that's Howard Mudd talking about the importance of the offensive line, and yet it's really setting up the pass as well. Sticking with the Cardinals for now, Edgerrin James, 32 carries, 55 yards. I think it's a record for the least yards with the most carries.
Yeah, it is, and I don't know how much. I thought the offensive line gave Matt Leinart a lot of time to throw. Was he only sacked once? I think he only sacked once. Sadly for him, that sack resulted in a blindside fumble touchdown for the Bears. But the offensive line, which Denny Green ripped last week, gave Matt Leinart time to throw. And I don't know that I'm going to attribute Edgerrin James' lack of yardage production to the offensive line woes as much as I'm going to attribute it to the Bears having the best defensive line in football. The line play goes both ways. The two most important things, and the Redskins championship teams, the three championship teams of Joe Gibbs, demonstrated this because they had different quarterbacks, different running backs, and different receivers. Offensive line, and I'm sure you get a defensive line coach on, if Buddy Ryan was on, he would say almost the same thing about the defensive line. It's important. So I agree with Howard Mudd. Line play is it, and the Cardinals got beat by a better defensive line, but the offensive line play, Nick, looked up. They should be able to build on what they did against the Bears Monday night, against the Raiders, who don't have either line playing very well. So, I think the best teams you mentioned, the Chargers and the Colts, I think those are the teams that absolutely have the best line play.
Okay, finally, your favorite team, Chicago. We just got 15 seconds. Do they have the kind of offensive line to protect a young quarterback in Grossman and win the Super Bowl?
I think they do, and they're going to have to protect him to win the Super Bowl. I think they can get there, but Carolina is another team that has all that stuff. Carolina is a team in the NFC, as a Bears fan, Nick, that scares me.
We want to thank you, Michael Wilbon, for joining us. As always, welcome to Scottsdale, my friend. We want to thank Bob Melvin, Jim Beatty, Bill Adams. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We'll see you tomorrow.